Okay. Now, it's hard to get very detailed about the interior passages of the pyramid with people that haven't watched. And if I review and bring everybody up to date, we never get down to the detail. Tonight I'm not doing much review. It is very apparent to those that have studied the pyramid and to those that have listened to me that someone with superior knowledge designed it. And some pretty superior people built it, aligning it to true north, building it in such a way that it would express its alignment at a precise time when benchmarks in the descending interior passage would perfectly coordinate with the lineup of the stars, the dragon constellation, Alpha Draconis, perfectly on a plane as the North Star, with the descending passage, and scored lines placed there as a deliberate marker, with crosshair synchronized with the Pleiades, and the star Alcyon. Not 2142, not 2140 B.C., not even the fall of 2141 B.C., but only at the spring equinox, 2141 B.C. did this line up, a very precise day. This pyramid is designed using the building block unit of the universe as its central measuring unit and consistent measuring unit, 1/500 millionth of the distance between the North and South Pole through the center of the Earth, now capable of being measured through use of satellites and modern instrumentation, as tradition would teach us, not capable of being known in such precise dimensions at the time it is said the pyramid was built, or any time earlier. Now, we spent a lot of time tracing astronomy all the way back to the Sumerians, showing that each time from Ptolemy in this common era and through all the Middle Ages, the further back you go, the more precise and accurate their knowledge, until we come to the Sumerians, who had knowledge they had no practical use for. That external packaging, the perfection with which the pyramid is built, gets attention for its central message contained in the interior passages. Counting 1 year to an inch, that code being given with a key in the antechamber up here in the entrance to the king's chamber, and counting as said 1 year to an inch, as man descending is under the influence of the dragon star, with a clear message that God intended to intrude upon that downward path of man, we come to the point where the first ascending passage, constricted, blocked, requiring a miracle to get past the first part, in symbol that is, requiring that you stoop to ascend up the passage. This point of turning upward is 1453 B.C., more and more proven by archaeology and other methods of dating to be the date of the Exodus out of Egypt under Moses. And counting again 1 year to an inch, you come to a point where this narrow passage suddenly opens upward 286.1 pyramid inches. We also spent time to point out that this horizontal passage, which is the entrance to and then the queen's chamber, has two levels. There is a level of the approaching passageway, then a downward step, and we're at the floor level of the queen's chamber. Now, let me state it at this point without explaining in detail. We haven't spent any time talking about this passageway into the queen's chamber, nor have we talked of the queen's chamber itself. All scholars that I know interpreting these interior passages in their meaning make a great deal, forget these dates at this point, make a great deal of the fact that this floor of the queen's chamber symbolizes perfection and human perfection, or perfection in human form. This upward ascending passage symbolizes man advancing under law. To those who use the words dispensation, under the Mosaic dispensation, and thus under bondage. If you take this floor and extend it, as I have with a dotted line here, it will intersect the inclined floor line of the ascending passage, which is man under law, burdened down in the so-called Mosaic dispensation. And this floor of the queen's chamber extended with this artificial line projected will hit the ascending passage, obviously, at a point further down than the floor line of the access hallway into the passage. Follow that? Now, it will be reversed cross-section. But with that in mind, the queen's chamber floor level, extended as I did with the dotted line, hits the inclined plane of the first ascending passage, man under law, at a point which calculates on the chronometer of 1 inch to a year, September 29th, 2 B.C., which on the Hebrew calendar happens to be First Tisri, the Feast of the Trumpets. And as we've already pointed out, if you were to drop a plumb line from the point where the first ascending passage, which is constricted, man under bondage and under law, is too hot in here, Mike. At the exact point where it opens up into the Grand Gallery, if you were to drop a plumb line down, that plumb line would hit the inclined floor at a point which marks April 3rd, A.D. 33. Between these two points, 2 B.C., and A.D. 33 is contained the life of Christ. 33 years, 6 months, 4 days on our calendar, 33 years, 6 months, and 13 days on the Hebrew calendar. First Tishri, Hebrew calendar, September 29th, 2 B.C., our calendar. Now, that I did with you last night. I want to point out something a little more detailed in its significance. This line, which extends the Queen's Chamber, you remember I told you, all scholars that I know interpret the floor of the Queen's Chamber, without me telling you why at this point, as the symbol of perfection in human form. Born under law, because the birth date is not in the Grand Gallery, but in that section of the ascending passage, which is the first ascending passage. Thus, the time of the Mosaic dispensation, when law ruled. Like a safety pin, it's so simple. But let the concept hit you. Geometrically, and in this structure, the extension of the Queen's floor extends the symbol of human perfection until it crosses the inclined line of human history at the point where one is born under law, who is perfection in human form. Only one person in the history of mankind ever achieved perfection under the law. Now add all the other little crosshairs and coordinates. That this pyramid had to be built at a time in a 26,000 year precession of equinoxes, where the benchmark date line would coordinate exactly when the planets and the stars, as they move through the heavens, would coordinate exactly where the plane of the dragon star, symbolizing man in his downward passage under the influence of Satan the dragon, at a point where God is going to intrude on that downward passage in such a way that 1 inch to a year would specifically and exactly pinpoint the exodus out of Egypt, and would specifically and exactly contain the number of years to have the only person in the history of mankind who qualifies with the requirement of the floor of the Queen's Chamber, which is human perfection in human form, born under law, living his life in that 33 years, 6 months plus, and die exactly at God's set time, at the moment coordinated in this pyramid as 33 AD, when the displacement factor of 286.1 would immediately be symbolized by the opening up of the gallery into the Grand Gallery, the process of truth and light in 7 large blocks, exactly 286.1 inches, the rectification factor to correct the displacement, and to have not only the dates coordinate, but the birth of Christ pinpointed at the exact extension of the plane in this pyramid, symbolizing human perfection. That ain't bad. I used to hunt ducks. Did you ever try to lead a teal flying at full speed and hit him with a wad of shotgun pellets. I felt pretty good when I did that. But this is coordination par excellence. Do you follow that now? That's just one more little piece among many of the perfection of symbolism in this pyramid showing God's control over history. And remember, there's another little pyramid. After the death of Christ, continue on up. Now we're in the grand gallery because this is a line as though it were a plumb line dropping from the entrance to the grand gallery. Go on a ways, and then it drops down a step to the floor line of the entrance passage before it drops another step to the floor line of the Queen's Chamber. This creates a second little triangle. What is that? You don't care. Now, as I told you, the pyramid, you can just pull it apart as you dissect its meaning. And the more minute the detail, the more astounding the revelation of God's control over history. You want me to continue?
Yes, sir.
Now, it is important, as I said, that I not lose anyone who just joins us. But if I review all the time, we'll never proceed. Now, take a look at this Christ triangle, as it is called again, extending the floor line of the Queen's Chamber. It cuts across the ascending passage under law, under the Mosaic dispensation, at exactly 2 BC, September 29th, Feast of the Trumpets. Once again, God's right on. In Leviticus, the King James reads, "These are the feast days of the Lord." The word translated feast days literally means the set times of the Lord. Paul in the New Testament says concerning these feast days, set times of the Lord, they were a shadow of things to come, but Christ is the substance. Down through the years, the Feast of the Trumpets, with the blowing of the twin trumpets all day long, was a witness to redemption that was to be followed with the great day of atonement. Talk about hitting right on. As they kept that feast day throughout all the Mosaic dispensation, the shadow was pointing to the day on the Feast of the Trumpets when Christ would be born, not December 25th. To you, that's old hat now that Christ was not born on December 25th. To a lot of people listening now, they're writing or calling in and saying, "Well, what about Christmas?" It's a heathen festival. But that's old hat to you. But to hit it right on the Feast of the Trumpets and his death that snatched from Satan the keys to death, hell, and the grave, Passover AD 33. These lines comprise the so-called Christ triangle. And as I said to you, you take that Christ triangle, and that's why it's drawn at this angle, and set it on the north side of the pyramid, dead center, and extend as a rum line, the line of the hypotenuse. It will hit Bethlehem dead on the nose. Now, that's kind of interesting and significant, too. But let me lay another one on you. sitting on the plains of Salisbury in England are these mysterious stone monuments. I wouldn't find a better picture. There we are, reconstructed. Stonehenge. Diagrammed the ditch, the so-called Aubrey holes, then the series of stone monuments coming closer, lined up in such a way as to enable a sighting to the so-called heel stone at a particular time of the year, with marker stones, two of which are still there, with lines connected comprising a triangle, or rather a rectangle. If you connect, well, let me save that. I want to show you the relation between Stonehenge and this pyramid, and particularly the birth of Christ. We're talking about the pyramid and this amazing way in which its internal passages synchronize with dates in the life of Christ, as well as other dates. We traced it from its benchmark of 2141 BC to 1453 AD when the Exodus began, to the point that marks the birth and death of Christ, the so-called Christ triangle in the pyramid, from 2 BC to AD 33. Pointed out, if you lay that triangle, this is obviously not to scale. Come over here, Peter. Did you all, you guys arrive here today with all your head on you, or just part of it? This is the marker. Got that? This is obviously not to scale. Now, there are those who say, well, you growl like you do on TV. How many have noticed a difference when I do? Huh? God's work doesn't stay at Super Bowl level any more than a football team does. Without a growling coach. Any of you seen very many coaches on the sidelines acting like Pat Robinson? Can't you see him as president? As I was saying, this is obviously not scale. If you lay the dimensions of the Christ triangle on the north side of the pyramid and extend a rum line extending the hypotenuse, it will hit Bethlehem, across Sinai, and hit Bethlehem. Even more significant is the relationship to that strange standing circle of stones, Stonehenge. another picture somewhere. There it is. Now, as diagrammed out, there is an embankment and a ditch that encircles this great monument. An outer circle of holes called the Aubrey Holes, and this is called the Aubrey Circle. And then, as you move inward, the stones that still stand and attract the eye. And this inner circle, made up of most of the bold standing stones, is called the Sarsen Circle. Now, if we simplify it for a moment to just those two, the Aubrey Circle and the Sarsen Circle, I want to show you a diagram. A lot of them, but I want to show you a particular one. Just relax. I'll find it for you. Here we are. Aubrey Circle. Sarsen Circle. With the horseshoe stones. And the heel stone out here. On the Aubrey Circle are what's called four marker stones, sometimes called station stones, sometimes called marker stones. Let me show it to you in the big diagram again. Station stone 91, station stone 92. This is not north, by the way, as most maps are north and south. North is designated over here. But this would then be called the southeast station stone or marker stone. This would be the southwest station stone or marker stone. Northwest, northeast. Numbered 91 for north, for southeast, 92 for southwest, 94 for northeast, 93 northwest. You take a line and connect stone 93 northwest to stone 91 southeast. And keep that line going right over the globe like a rum line through the Mediterranean. It will hit the pyramid dead center. Now that's a hint of a connection, isn't it? Plus the fact it also happens to encompass within itself and be built using the unit of measure, the pyramid inch.
This is the end of side one.